Well, I came upon the child of God. He was walking along the road, and I asked him, tell me, where are you going? He said, no way. Said, I'm going down to Yaska's farm, gonna join in a rock and roll band. Got to get back to the land, set my soul free. We are stars, we are girls, we are building you on our own. And we've got to get ourselves back to the God.
This is Duke Gomez-Shemp with KPPP LP 88.1 Fargo-Moorhead Radio, bringing local color to your airwaves. Tonight's episode of Band Music is going to take a little turn. We're going to reminisce a bit and go back to Woodstock. However, when Woodstock happened, I was only 10 years old. Kind of band music for me because I was a 10-year-old and my sister had gotten the album, Woodstock. I was totally intrigued because there were thousands and thousands of people in a concert and naked people swimming in pools and hippies everywhere. And I was intrigued with hippies. I was only 10 years old. I wasn't allowed to be a hippie. I think they were banned in my family. But this album was something I was intrigued with. I had to kind of sneak and look at it and then listen to it very low because there were songs in there that had swear words. There were songs about war. There were songs about humanity and about racism. I was very intrigued. I learned later, really, that Woodstock was a music festival with an audience over 400,000 people. It was scheduled for 3 days in a farm in New York from August 15th to August 17th. But it actually ran over and actually went 4 days. It was supposed to be an exposition of 3 days of peace and music. It was held at Max Younger's 600-acre farm in the Catskills, near the hamlet of White Lake in the town of Bethel. Bethel was in Sullivan County. It was 43 miles southwest of the town of Woodstock in New York. So it really wasn't in Woodstock. But what I actually heard about Woodstock probably came from the news. So here's a news clip from that time.
A rock music festival that drew hundreds of thousands of young people to a dairy farm in White Lake, New York over the weekend came to an end today. And we have a report from Richard O'Brien.
They listened for 3 days, and today they sounded the retreat and headed for home. The sponsors said it was going to be 3 days of peace and music. It was that, all right, and much more. Estimates of the crowd ranged up to more than 300,000, and it was that size that caused most of the trouble. That and the rainstorms that turned the big dairy meadow into a mud farm. The big problem was that no one had even the slightest notion that they would come in such numbers. Today, wearied but still light of heart, they huddled their masses and set out for home. And they headed in every direction. As one official pointed out, with 300,000 people, you are not dealing with just a crowd, but virtually a city. And as a city, it had city problems. One youngster died of a suspected overdose of heroin. 80 others were arrested on drug charges. Another boy killed when the driver of a tractor failed to see him inside a sleeping bag. One of the promoters says he wouldn't try this again unless he could rent the Grand Canyon. He may have to. Already there are threats of lawsuits from local business people who called it a disgrace. The kids said it was just great. And so, it's all over, except for the massive cleanup job that remains. The Woodstock Music and Art Fair, having done its thing, quietly folds its tent and steals away. Till another day. Richard O'Brien, CBS News, White Lake, New York.
You know, when I played this album as a 10-year-old, one of the first songs that caught my intrigue was a song by Country Joe McDonald. He was singing about Vietnam, but what really drew me to it was it had swear words in it. You know, he was like a few other artists at Woodstock Festival. Joe and the Fish have also appeared in other U.S. major music festivals at that time. He was at the Monterey International Pop Festival in 1967, and then they released their most important album, reformed their lineup, and became severe critics of the raging war in Vietnam. Country Joe and the Fish resumed the festival after the thunderstorm on Sunday, August 17th. There in the evening, and they sang this song.
Give me an F! Give me a U! Give me a S! Give me a K! What's that spell? What's that spell? What's that spell? What's that spell? What's that spell?
Well, come on, all you big strong men. Help again, got himself in a terrible jam, way down yonder in Vietnam. Put down your books and pick up a gun, we're gonna have a whole lot of fun. And it's 1, 2, 3, what are we fighting for? Don't ask me, I don't give a damn, the next stop is Vietnam. And it's 5, 6, 7, open up the pearly gates. Well, there ain't no time to wonder why we're all gonna die. Now come on, Wall Street, don't be slow, I'm war a go-go. There's plenty of good money to be made, supplying the army with the tools of the trade. Just open crazy to drop the bomb, driving on a Viet Cong. And it's 1, 2, 3, what are we fighting for? Don't ask me, I don't give a damn, the next stop is Vietnam. And it's 5, 6, 7, open up the pearly gates. Well, I ain't no time to wonder why we all gonna die. Now come on, generals, let's move fast. Your big chance is here at last. Now you can go out and get those reds, cause the only good commie is one instead. And you know that the peace can only be won when the long, long kingdom comes. Sing it! 1, 2, 3, what are we fighting for? Don't ask me, I don't give a damn. Louder! It's Vietnam. And it's 5, 6, 7, open up early gates. Well, I ain't no time to wonder why. What do you want on the dark?
Listen to me, one, how you expect to ever stop the war? You can't.
There's about 300,000 of you out there. I want you to start singing. Come on. And it's 1, 2, 3.
What are we fighting for? Don't ask now, don't give down. The next stop is Vietnam. And it's 5, 6, 7. What are we doing?
Yeah, that song, pretty sure it would have been banned in my household if my parents knew or listening to it, so I just kept a volume down. So, you know, the album intrigued me, like I said earlier, and I really didn't know that much about music. Like I said, I was only 10 years old, but what we had at the time is we had television and radio, and we had a stereo. That's why we could play albums, and luckily I had older siblings who would go out and buy albums so I could actually hear music. And you would hear music that wasn't on the radio. Like, of course, Joe McDonald in the Fish Chair would never be on the radio. I think it was, but they took out the whole beginning part. And I had to bleep the beginning part because we're playing on the radio. It's years and years later, we still have to bleep those words. But there's another iconic band that played at Woodstock, and it's just one that I've heard a lot, and I've really liked the song. And that album might have influenced me to like that song, but it's by Canned Heat. It's called Going Up the Country. Canned Heat, they added psychedelic elements to their blues and fluent songs, and their boogie rock kept the people dancing. They hit the stage at Woodstock on Saturday the 16th, about 7:30 p.m., and the gig took place during sunset, which occurred around 8 o'clock. The sky got cloudy, and it got a little bit darker as usual, and this concert was really, you know, difficult to coordinate. I mean, this is 1969. They had like over 36 bands that were playing, and they played sets. They had technical difficulties. They had rain. They had thunder. They had darkness. They had electricity issues. But Canned Heat got up there right when the sun was setting, and they did this song.
I'm going to some
song kind of makes you want to get up and dance, doesn't it? It's been kind of one of my favorites, and you know, I really haven't listened to the lyrics that much to really see what's going on. Gonna have to do that, but I do enjoy it. We play it on the radio station. We have a classic rock section that I'll play from time to time, and that's one of the songs in there. Now, as I said, I was only 10 years old during Woodstock, but I was listening to this album. I was intrigued what was going on. I heard news on the television. I heard people talking about it. Well, there was this musician who actually opened up the whole concert. His name is Richie Havens. And he was a live performer. He had a lot of widespread notice. His 1969 Woodstock appearance catapulted him into stardom. And it was a major turning point in his career. He was the festival's first performer. And he basically played for 3 hours. You know, he was told to continue playing because there were a bunch of artists who were scheduled to perform, but they weren't there. They were delayed. If you remember from the newscasts, and if you were actually there or were alive during that time, there was a huge traffic jam, so it was really hard for people to get in. You know, but he was told to keep on playing, and he played this song called Freedom at Woodstock, and basically he made up the lyrics. I saw a documentary where he talked about it. He said he was just improvising. He just like said, I'm a spiritual motherless child that became freedom. So he basically made this song up. It's one of his best. Have a listen.
Freedom, 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 freedom.
Thank you, Richie. That was pretty good. I enjoyed that a lot. You know, another band that played at Woodstock, like I said, there was many. We're not going to be able to cover them all in this less than 1 hour program, but I'm covering about a dozen. It's Santana. The song I'm going to actually let you hear is a Soul Sacrifice. It was at Woodstock, of course. Santana brought the Latin rock fusion to Woodstock. They started at 2 p.m. on Saturday, on the 16th. They were pretty much unknown by the audience, but they hit the nerve of the party crowd very, very well. Their debut album, Santana, was released in the same month that Woodstock happened. The band had just played local gigs in the San Francisco area, so they're relatively unknown. Their set was powerful and magical at the same time. Santana used to have a massive percussion section at that time, and the drummer Michael Shereve added his personal note, especially during the drum solo of Sacrifice. And also, I think you should know that the guitar licks by Carlos Santana were being done by him when he was tripping on acid. You can go check it out. There's documentaries about it. There's a lot of mentions about it. He was basically tripping out of his mind, but he played the best guitar ever. Yeah, if my parents would have known any of that information, definitely this album would have been banned in my household. But I was listening, and I still am. There's another band that played Woodstock. It's called Jefferson Airplane. I'm sure you've heard of them. They went through lots of different modifications of their name and their music. But back in this time, in the late 60s, they were really, really popular in the San Francisco scene, basically. They had this dual and sometimes triple voiceover in their trademark that made their music sound really, really psychedelic, as well as bluesy in their songs. The Airplane became an archetype of the new young and rebellious generation, free and successful, living together as a family, or at least as good as friends, making music, taking drugs. Jefferson Airplane were scheduled as a headliner for Saturday at Woodstock, the second day of the Woodstock Festival. But they finally started on Sunday morning around 8 a.m. or earlier. So listen to this song. I'm sure you'll recognize it. What sort of music was I listening to as a child? That's pretty heavy psychedelic stuff for a 10-year-old, but you know what? I still enjoy it. You know, another musician that was at Woodstock is someone who I've seen through time, and actually I've heard him sing this song many, many times throughout my whole childhood and adulthood. His name was Joe Cocker, and the song is With a Little Help from My Friends. He was at Woodstock, and he was first officially scheduled to be playing on Saturday. But he went on stage about 2 p.m., and he was in the music business for quite a while, and he was basically not known. But after he did this success at Woodstock, he became the man with a soulful voice and became famous everywhere. He was really well received by the Beatles cover song With a Little Help from My Friends, which was already the second performance after Richie Havens' version of The First Day. Cocker's background band at that time was a superb Grease Band, a formation that lasted only 2 years. Shortly after Cocker's gig, a heavy thunderstorm came in and washed all over the festival, and everything was brought to a stop for several hours. You probably remember that from the movie or from the album. It was raining, and it got very muddy. Equipment was being wet and ruined. There was danger of electricity, but he sang this song.
do if I sang out of tune? Would you stand up and walk out on me? Lend me your ears and I'll sing you a song. I will try not to sing out of key. Oh, baby.
Oh yeah, that was pretty good. You know, I liked it by the Beatles. I especially like that song by Joe Cocker. You know, the rain was happening, and I remember on the album there was some chanting about rain, and I remember that, and it rained, and the musicians had to go on. There was this musician named Ravi Shankar. He basically he was very special. He was an Indian musician. You know, from India. He came to Woodstock and he made his first appearance in the Western world at the Montgomery International Pop Festival in 1967. Then he followed by an invitation from George Harrison, the Beatle, you know, one of the Beatles, George, in the wake of spiritualism and a search for new influences in his music. So he really worked with George Harrison for a while. And you can tell that in the Beatles, as they started to branch out, you know, George Harrison really took on this Indian music as well as some of the other Beatles. But this musician, Ravi Shankar became very popular, but he was not very fond of anyone doing drugs. He didn't like the drug-consuming, partying crowd of young people. And he started about 10 p.m. on Friday and played for over 40 minutes, but it rained the whole time he played. But listen to his music. Listen to what he does.
The great Ravi Shankar, gentleman who played through the rain, who just kept playing.
Like I said, I can tell that that music, that style of music, really did influence the Beatles, and it was pretty good to hear Indian music, and you know, especially in 1969 in the United States. Another band that played was Sly and the Family Stone. They played the song "Higher and Higher." They were scheduled very late Saturday night evening, or rather, they went into Sunday morning. Sly and the Family Stone played at 3:30 a.m. They were led by Sly Stone. They were pioneers of funk rock, which was based on soul and R&B music combined with psychedelic elements as well as gospel. The band consisted of black and white members and men and women, which was not usual at that time in the United States of America. Given their late appearance, Sly and the Family Stone are remarkably fresh and powerful. The Woodstock show is widely considered one of their best performances.
Yeah.
The Who played at Woodstock also. The Who were scheduled as a second-to-last act before Jefferson Airplane to play on Saturday, August 16th. When they actually started playing, it was already Sunday morning around 5 a.m. They played their exceptional Tommy album, a rock opera dealing with a struggle of a deaf, dumb, and blind boy who later finds a cure and gains stardom with a messianic movement. The finale of this performance took place during sunrise, which occurred at 6.05 a.m. The Who.
You're going to have to try a little harder than that. Ladies and gentlemen, The Who. Thank you very much indeed. We'd like to play a song which kind of is our, we knew we were going to come back and do it. And this is a, yeah, sorry. This is kind of our hymn. It's a song about you and me. We're getting a bit old now. A song called My Generation. Things they do look awful. Talking about my generation. I hope I die before I get old. Talking about my generation. My generation. My generation, baby. Why don't y'all fade away? Yeah, don't try and dig what we all say. My generation, my generation, it's a my generation, baby.
Smashed some things up at the end of that song, and they went on to smashing things up in a lot of their concerts as well as hotel rooms, and kind of became their keynote thing to smash things up. Well, my hour's up, but I do have to play a little bit of Jimi Hendrix playing the Star Spangled Banner. He played this basically really, really, really late, or very, very, very early the last day, and a lot of people didn't really even know that he was going to be playing, but he did this rendition of the Star Spangled Banner, and then that'll be it for tonight, so we'll catch you next time on Band Music. This is Duke Gomez-Shemp with KPPP, LP 88.1, Fargo-Moorhead, bringing local color to your airwaves.
Where they listen to 3 days of rock music is quiet, except for the normal sounds of cows mooing. Here's a report on the last of the vibrations from ABC's Gregory Jackson.
Last night, the traffic was immense. But somehow, between dark and dawn, when the music finally stopped, they disappeared across the country. Although thousands remained on the rented 600-acre dairy farm, pitching in on the cleanup detail or just waiting out the crowd. The festival site is nestled in the heart of the Catskills Resort area. The biggest town nearby is Monticello, and the townspeople, quite frankly, were terrified at the prospect of the hippie arrival. But before it was over, something happened in Monticello. Residents and resorts freely emptied their cupboards for the kids. Merchants were stunned by their politeness.
Polite? That's about what I can say about them. They're polite kids.
But you didn't sell many shoes.
No, not too many, but they were happy here.
I think they are really a wonderful group of kids. I've never met so many kids in such large numbers that were so polite, so patient, so courteous, and understanding under these conditions that we had here in the last 3 days.
Certainly in the beginning there was a great deal of apprehension, but right now I can say that the attitude of the town is changed towards these young men and women.
They took a lot of aggravation and inconvenience that the average adult wouldn't take.
Unfortunately, because much of the press coverage was so jaundiced in its reports of what happened here, not many people in the country will have learned what Monticello learned. Suffice it to say that it was not a disaster area. There were 450,000 young people here, an instant big city, really, with no conveniences, few police, but no violence, not even arguments in the midst of a 12-hour traffic jam. It's true one may not ask for the names of the tailors of these youngsters, but would anyone care to venture a guess about what would have happened if 450,000 well-dressed businessmen were thrown together for 3 days under similar circumstances? This is Gregory Jackson, ABC News, in Bethel, New York.